You know that feeling when you're packing your bags for the annual corporate strategy retreat?
Oh man, yeah. The heavy three-ring binders.
Right, the binders, the 100-slide presentations, and maybe an agenda that has way too many icebreakers.
Always in some windowless hotel conference room.
Exactly. And it's this very long, very intense session where leadership basically decides the quote-unquote North Star for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, and it feels incredibly solid while you're in there.
It really does.
Yeah.
It feels like you're finally, I don't know, wrestling the chaos of a market into submission and pinning it down on a whiteboard.
It's deeply comforting, honestly. I mean, we humans love
We
certainty.
do.
And that annual retreat is essentially this elaborate corporate ritual, right? It's designed to create the illusion of total control.
The illusion being the key word there. Because then you step out of that hotel conference room, you get back to your desk, and the real world hits you.
Hard.
Yeah. A new competitor launches a product or a supply chain snags, and suddenly that pristine slide deck feels entirely obsolete.
Completely useless.
Which brings us to today. Welcome to the deep dive. We have a stack of fascinating excerpts today from a source text called The Continuous Strategy System, Navigating an AI-Driven World.
It is a phenomenal read.
It really is. And we are digging into an aha moment that might just honestly validate every bit of exhaustion you have ever felt staring at static corporate buzzwords.
Yes, for anyone listening who rolls their eyes at synergy or five-year plans, this is for you.
Right. The big premise we are exploring for you today is this. Most organizations do not actually have a strategy problem. What they have is a strategy process that is fundamentally broken.
Fundamentally.
The mission of this deep dive is to explore how the sheer speed of technology, and specifically AI, is forcing a complete ground-up redesign of how organizations decide, adapt, and operate.
And look, if you're listening to this and feeling a sense of fatigue, the mere mention of corporate strategy, I completely
I'll
understand.
say.
We are not here to add to your information overload today. Our goal is to synthesize exactly why that traditional periodic strategy retreat is dead,
Very dead.
why the old model is cracking under pressure, and crucially, why this disruption is actually incredibly good news for teams that know how to adapt.
Because it's really a transition, right? From static planning to a living, breathing system.
Exactly.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because the source text starts with a really stark observation about what traditional strategy has been for decades.
Right, the old playbook.
Yeah, the pattern has always been like set a direction, figure out where you create value, get everyone aligned, and then just march forward and execute.
Which worked when things moved slower.
Sure. But relying on an annual strategy in today's market is like, I mean, it's like trying to navigate a high-speed car chase using a printed map from 2010.
I love that analogy. A printed map.
Right. You're looking down at this paper trying to find your exit while the roads themselves are literally being rerouted around you in real time.
Yeah, and the printed map assumes the terrain is static, you know?
Exactly,
Yeah.
which is why what you actually need is something like Waze, a system that is continuously ingesting real-time telemetry from thousands of other drivers and dynamically rerouting you without you even having to ask.
That is the perfect distinction because business models are shifting faster than organizations can adjust to the previous wave of
And they
disruption.
just can't keep up.
Right. You sit down in Q1, you make an assumption about supply chain stability or competitor behavior.
Consumer demand, yeah.
Sure, consumer demand. But by Q2, a massive technological shift has rendered those assumptions completely irrelevant.
They're just gone.
So when you treat strategy as something you only revisit annually or quarterly, you are intentionally operating with stale data.
But I have to push back here a little bit.
Go for it.
Fortune 500 companies aren't stupid. I mean, they have massive strategy departments, they hire top-tier consultants.
Oh, they spend millions on this.
Right. So if they know the printed map doesn't work, why are they still using it? Are they just like moving too slow to build their own ways?
It is not a lack of intelligence or effort. The source text is very clear on this point.
Okay.
The root cause of this failure is fragmentation. It's a total mismatch in organizational clock speeds.
Clock speeds. What do you mean by that?
Well, think about the mechanics of how a traditional corporation operates right now. You have the C-suite operating on a 12-month planning cycle.
Right. They're looking at annual budgets, long-term positioning.
Exactly. But down in the operational trenches, you have engineering and product teams launching disconnected AI initiatives.
Oh, yeah, running on like a 2-week sprint cycle.
Right. They are deploying new software every 2 weeks, just trying to keep up with immediate customer demands.
So the top of the company is moving at what, 5 miles an hour, and the bottom is moving at 100 miles an hour, but they aren't actually talking to each other.
Precisely. And the real issue here isn't a lack of data. I mean, most organizations are absolutely drowning in data.
Too much data, usually.
The fundamental breakdown is the inability to connect decisions across those different clock speeds.
Oh, I see.
Fragmentation happens when, say, your supply chain team is autonomously optimizing logistics using machine learning algorithms that update every hour.
Okay, sounds good so far.
But your finance team is still allocating budget for that supply chain based on a static 3-year-old spreadsheet model that was approved at the last retreat.
Wow. Yeah, that's a mess.
The right hand and the left hand are fundamentally misaligned, running on completely different operational logic.
If the clock speeds are that mismatched, then simply running the traditional strategy process faster, like, I don't know, having a retreat every month instead of every year, that isn't going to fix the gap.
No, it just burns everyone out.
Right. We actually need a completely different mechanism for making decisions. Which brings us to how technology is really changing the game here.
What's fascinating here is how the text completely dismantles the way we normally talk about artificial intelligence in business.
How so?
Well, for years, AI has been described purely as an execution tool. You know?
Like a very powerful calculator.
Exactly. A tool that helps you implement your predetermined human plan faster. But that view is already dangerously outdated.
Because it's doing more than that now.
AI is no longer just executing strategy. It is actively formulating it.
I want to pause on that word, formulating.
Yeah.
Because we aren't just talking about a machine like drafting an email or summarizing a meeting notes document.
Mm-hmm.
How exactly does an AI formulate a business strategy?
Let's look at the mechanics of it. Traditionally, if you wanted to test a new business model, say, a dynamic pricing tier for a software product, what happens?
A human team spends 3 months gathering historical data.
Right. They build a financial model, debate it in committee, maybe run a limited pilot program.
A very slow process.
An AI integrated system doesn't do that. It continuously runs thousands of multivariate simulations against real-time market data.
Thousands of them.
Oh, constantly. It correlates live point-of-sale data with competitor pricing changes, global weather patterns, supply chain bottlenecks.
Things a human couldn't possibly track all at once.
Exactly. And it autonomously adjusts the pricing routing before the executive team even wakes up. It is testing and refining the path forward dynamically.
That is wild.
Yeah.
And the text brings up Microsoft as a prime example of this.
He does, yes.
They aren't just using AI to make their own internal spreadsheets run faster. They are embedding AI into their core offerings to fundamentally reshape how work gets done by their client.
To the point where the technology is highlighting entirely new revenue opportunities based on user behavior patterns.
Patterns that a human analyst would never spot in a million years.
Never.
But, okay, if I am an executive and the AI is running thousands of simulations and essentially writing the strategic playbook in real time, what are I actually doing?
That is the big question, isn't it?
Am I just, like, rubber stamping the machine's output?
It is the existential question for modern management, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer requires a complete reframing of leadership.
Because the old way doesn't apply.
Strategy is simply no longer purely human-driven. It is a synthesis. It's a combination of human judgment, vast amounts of data, and continuously running AI systems.
Okay, so a partnership.
Therefore, your job as a leader is no longer to make every single operational decision. Your job is to shape the logic of how decisions are made.
Oh, so you're designing the machine rather than operating the individual levers.
Exactly. You are setting the parameters, defining the risk tolerance, and determining the desired outcomes of the system.
That makes a lot of sense.
Think of it like being an urban planner instead of a traffic cop.
Oh, I like that. The traffic cop tries to direct every single car.
Which is what traditional management does. It requires sign-offs and approvals for every single move.
Yeah, holding up the whole intersection.
Right. But the urban planner designs the grid. They set the speed limits, they build the infrastructure so that the traffic can essentially manage itself efficiently.
And if your strategy relies on human bottlenecks for every approval, it's just an obsolete strategy.
Completely obsolete.
Yeah. Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because if how we decide is fundamentally changing from top-down human decrees to this continuous algorithmic loop, then what we are aiming for has to change too, right?
It has to, yes.
We can't use an adaptive real-time system to just aim at the exact same static target. I mean, the old goal of strategy was always positioning.
Find a safe corner of the market, build a massive wall around it.
Exactly. Defend your territory against all competitors.
The classic moat-building philosophy.
Right. But the source text argues that while positioning still matters, it is nowhere near enough anymore. We have to move from positioning to participation.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what we are seeing is the blurring of traditional industry boundaries.
Right, yeah.
And the example the text uses, which illustrates this perfectly, is NVIDIA.
I am struggling with this a bit, though.
Okay, why is that?
Well, if I'm an executive at a company like NVIDIA, the classic strategy says I should build a proprietary moat. Keep everyone out.
Protect the IP at all costs.
Yeah. So if you prioritize participation and open up your walls to build an ecosystem, aren't you just basically inviting competitors to commoditize your core product?
Yeah.
Where's the defense in that?
That is the paradox of the modern strategic landscape right there. And it is exactly why NVIDIA's approach is so brilliant.
How so?
Their immense power doesn't come from dominating one single isolated consumer product and locking everyone else out. It comes from becoming the foundational layer for an entire ecosystem.
So it's about being the bedrock.
Mechanically, they didn't just build a highly advanced microchip. They built CUDAE, which is a software layer that allows developers to easily communicate with those chips.
They gave them the tools?
They gave developers the tools to innovate on top of their hardware.
So they essentially said, look, we aren't going to build every single AI application ourselves. Yeah. We are going to build the bedrock that everyone else's AI depends on.
Exactly. And that answers your question about defense.
Right, because everyone relies on them.
Value is no longer created in a vacuum by a single corporation selling a single widget to a consumer. Value is created across multiple actors in a network.
The network is the key.
So the new strategic imperative is simultaneous differentiation and collaboration.
Okay, break that down for me.
NVIDIA differentiated themselves by having unmatched hardware and the CUDAE software layer, but they collaborated by making it the standard platform for millions of developers.
Oh, I see. So once an entire industry is building its innovations on top of your foundation, your defense isn't a wall you built to keep them out.
No, your defense is the fact that they literally cannot operate without you.
Wow. So the core question actually changes. You are no longer asking, where do we position ourselves to extract the most value?
Right.
You are asking, what role do we play in this broader network? And how do we shape the system around us so that when others succeed, we succeed?
It is an ecosystem play, pure and simple. And you cannot run an ecosystem play if you are trapped in an annual inward-looking strategy cycle.
You just get left behind.
You have to be continuously responding to the innovations of your partners in real time.
But hold on a second. Let's look at the operational reality of this.
Okay.
If I'm trying to act as a foundational ecosystem and I'm using AI to formulate decisions in real time across thousands of partners, how on earth do I govern it?
Ah, governance.
A traditional board of directors meeting once a quarter cannot possibly manage a network that mutates daily. Doesn't this just inevitably lead to total workplace anarchy?
It is a very valid fear. And honestly, it is exactly why traditional leaders cling so tightly to the annual retreat.
They want that feeling of control.
But the antidote to anarchy isn't rigid control. It is a fundamentally different kind of organizational discipline.
Okay.
Traditional governance, the endless review meetings, the five layers of sign-offs, the steering committees is simply too slow to contain the chaos of the modern market.
Right.
Instead, the source outlines five specific continuous capabilities that organizations must build into their daily operations.
Instead of just listing them out, let's actually apply these to a real-world scenario to see how the mechanics actually function.
Let's do it.
Let's say a company faces a massive, sudden supply chain shock. A major shipping route gets blocked overnight. Or a critical component manufacturer just goes offline.
Happens all the time now.
Right. So how does a company with a continuous strategy system handle this compared to a traditional company?
That is a great pressure test. So a traditional company freezes. The moment the shock hits, the annual plan is broken.
They panic.
They have to call an emergency steering committee. The executives spend 3 weeks gathering data just to map their exposure.
And by the time they have approval to shift suppliers, the alternative capacity has already been bought up by faster rivals.
Exactly. They lose out. Now, contrast that with an organization running a continuous strategy system. The first capability they rely on is an understanding of the broader system.
Meaning they don't just know their direct supplier, they know the entire network.
Right. Because they operate as an ecosystem, their AI systems have already continuously mapped their dependencies all the way down to tier three and tier four suppliers.
Wow, so deep visibility.
The moment the shipping right is blocked, the system instantly flags the downstream impact. They don't need 3 weeks of human research to understand their exposure. The system knows it immediately.
Which leads right into the second and third capabilities, huh?
Yeah.
Built-in discipline and clarity in decisions.
Yes.
Because in the traditional company, the procurement manager has to draft a proposal and wait for the VP to sign off on a massive budget increase to air freight materials.
But in the continuous organization, the discipline is baked into the daily operations and the software itself. The leadership has already designed the logic, remember.
Urban planner, not the traffic cop.
Exactly. The parameters for risk and budget reallocation in the event of a tier one supply failure were established months ago. That provides clarity in
Well,
decisions.
that's brilliant.
The procurement algorithm, or the team on the ground, doesn't need to ask for permission. The logic holds water, the parameters are clear, and they secure the alternative capacity instantly.
So they aren't relying on heroics or a VP working through the weekend. The system just executes the predefined logic.
Right.
But wait, what happens if there simply is no alternative supplier? What if the component is just gone?
That is where the fourth capability comes in,
Yeah.
the ability to evolve how value is created.
Evolve how value is created.
The
Okay.
rigid company will just halt the assembly line and miss their quarterly targets because their strategy is tied to selling one specific piece of hardware.
They can't pivot.
A continuous organization has a culture that is willing to completely rethink its existing business model in real time.
Oh, wow.
If they can't get the physical component, they might instantly pivot to pushing a software unlocked feature to their existing user base to maintain revenue targets while the hardware is constrained.
So they are willing to basically cannibalize their own original plan to keep generating value.
Yes, and doing all of that shifting suppliers autonomously, pivoting the product offering, rerouting logistics requires the final capability, which is the capacity to absorb change.
Think of it like the shock absorbers on a high-performance vehicle,
I
right?
love that, yes.
Traditional companies hit a bump and the entire chassis rattles. Every pivot causes a month of organizational whiplash where people don't know what their priorities are.
Morale tanks, confusion everywhere.
Right. But a continuous system absorbs the impact. Teams adapt to the new AI inputs and the sudden market shifts without losing their forward momentum.
They just keep rolling.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? If we step back and look at this massive shift from a periodic static exercise to a continuously run AI integrated system, it is obvious that the bar has been completely raised.
A whole new game.
The old way of drawing a map in January and crossing your fingers until December was easier, sure. But this new continuous model creates a massive, almost unfair advantage for the organizations that can actually pull it off mechanically.
Absolutely, because AI is going to generate vastly better real-time insights for you.
And building an ecosystem is going to open up entirely new, collaborative ways to create value that you can never achieve locked behind a proprietary wall.
Yes. And if you build those continuous capabilities, the shock absorbers, the clear decision logic, the broader system awareness your organization can finally move with actual speed instead of just talking about it.
Exactly. So what's the final verdict from the source text on all this?
The final verdict is unapologetic. Strategy itself is not going away. It is arguably more important than ever because the stakes are so much higher now.
Right.
But the version of strategy that lives exclusively in a 100-slide presentation that gets reviewed twice a year by an executive board and that slowly drifts out of sync with reality,
Yeah.
that version is completely dead. Organizations must mechanically adapt to a continuous system, or they will simply be left behind by those who do. The market is moving at the speed of the fastest algorithm, and it is not going to wait for the slow movers to catch up.
It is adapt or become a dinosaur. The printed map is officially useless.
It really is. But this actually raises an important question, one that extends slightly beyond the corporate framework we have been discussing, and it is something I really want you to think about.
Ooh, okay. What is it?
If corporate strategy is no longer a fixed North Star set by a visionary leader, but is instead this continuously mutating living system powered by AI and daily operational adjustments, what does that mean for our individual sense of purpose at work?
Man, that is an intense thought.
Because as humans, we fundamentally like having a finish line. You know, we like knowing exactly what we are building towards so we can measure our progress.
We want to know when we've won.
Exactly. But if the destination is intentionally changing in real time based on new data and shifting ecosystem dynamics, how do we measure our own success? How do we find stability and a sense of accomplishment in a career where the only constant is systemic flux?
Oh, that is a profound point. We are moving from a world of, did we hit the target, to a world of, how well did we adapt when the target moved entirely?
It fundamentally changes the psychological mechanics of what it means to be a successful professional.
I absolutely love that thought, and I hope you, listening, carry that question into your next big project or your next strategic planning session. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Leave the printed map at home, embrace the real-time telemetry, and we will catch you next time.